And just to know that this church was running smoothly, like it haven't missed a beat while I was gone, let you know of the success of the ministry. Amen. Not about me. It's about all of you all. Amen. When you all greet each other in here, and people, when new people come here every week, everybody says, man, they love me differently. They love me. One person can't do that. It takes a group of people. Amen. It takes a team. Amen. And so I just thank you all for doing it. You know, different people show up on different weeks or whatever, but it's a core people that's really believing in this good news. Amen. That respect each and every person in here, no matter if they're high or small or whatever, that you are loved no matter what. Amen. So I just thank you for that. Today, we're going to be teaching about God's true nature, amen, about who he really is. And something I've learned about God is sometimes he can have a nature of himself that we think differently of, amen. I found this thing, and I was trying to give away. Who like McDonald's chicken snack wraps? Yeah, from McDonald's. He said, no, I give it to you. What's your name? Yeah. What's your name again? Lanisha, here you go, Lanisha. Amen. And, you know, I do everything for a purpose, amen. For a reason. Because I was trying to give that chicken wrap away this week and nobody would take it. One person said, I don't want to take that. You already gave me some, Wendell. I said, okay, do you want it? Another person said, no, I don't want to take it. I said, why? Because I don't know you. So after I see somebody in church want them, amen. And she took it. Now when she took that chicken wrap, did I give it to her because of her character? Did I give it to her because she's been the greatest person in my eyes? Or, you know, I believe she's a great person, amen. I gave it to her by my nature, amen. By the nature of who I am. I did not give it to her because, oh yeah, I'm giving this to you because of all the things you've been doing for this church. I gave it to her because of who I am, amen. And when God gives to us, he doesn't give to you based off of who you have done or what you have done. He gives to you because he is who he is. If you try to receive from God based off of all the mess that you try to do, guess what happens? We go, we don't deserve nothing from you, God. Look at all the junk I did last week. Look at all the people I've been cussed out. Look at all the people I've been angry with. Amen. But we receive from God because of his nature. He said he loved us while we was in sin, not when we was doing our best. Amen. I remember I was training on my job the other day. They made me almost like a permanent trainer of people. And I was training this lady, and this one guy let her over in his lane when he was driving. This is a driving job. And she's like, oh, man, he let me over because I fly in. I said, what? She said, he let me over because I'm fly. I said, he don't know nothing about you. He let you over because of who he is. And that's how we receive from God. We receive from God because of who he is and not of what we have done. Amen? But when you make it about what you have done to receive from God, that's when we get choked up. That's where when we pray for people, we don't know if it's going to happen or not because I haven't lived up to my best abilities, because I haven't done the best. I haven't been the best person. But let me tell you something today. It's not about you being the best. It's from receiving from the best. He said when he died for you and your sins, that's what makes you righteous. Nothing else makes you righteous. Amen. And if you don't receive this from your heart, then coming to church even is hard. I don't want to come to church because I'm wait to get right. No. He said, you come to church to listen. I have made you right with me. Amen. So we're going to learn about the nature and the character of God today. In Luke 23:39, this is one of the criminals that had, there was a thief on the cross. It says, one of the criminals who were hanging there was hurling abuse at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the others answered and rebuked him, said, "Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation?" It was two people at the cross. One thief, another thief, and Christ in the middle. And one of them said, "Hey, if you're Christ, then get us off this cross. Do something. You supposed to be bad." But the other thief said, "Listen, bro, we both thieves. We deserve to be here. He is a good man. He don't even deserve to be here." Amen. He says, "And indeed, we are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he was saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly," this is Jesus talking, "I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." What is Jesus saying here in this story? Did the man have to go say, "You know what? I got to take everything back before I make things right with God"? He was on the cross. He couldn't go back. Amen. He was stuck on that cross. Jesus says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." What is he saying? Today you are righteous. You're waiting to be righteous. He says you're righteous right now. Man says, when you do everything right, then you will be right. And God always is trying to move you into the present, right here, right now. Jamario, as righteous as he ever going to be. Miles, as righteous as he ever going to be. You all are righteous and just. You know what righteous means? Justification. All these big words sometimes some people get confused of. It means that he looks at you like you have never sinned in your life. That's what happened when he hung and died on the cross for your sins. Can you see yourself like that? Can you see yourself just as if you've never made a mistake in your life? What does that do to your emotions? It makes you free. It makes you able to love people free. But when we see ourselves jacked up, beat up. We watched this movie the other day about this boxer, and he was just condemning himself. What happened was he had to drink over and over. He had to do drugs because his conscience was screaming at him so loud that he was a mistake. He was a mistake. He was a mistake. And you have to drown that out with the issues of life. But God says, "I'm not looking at your mistake. I'm not looking at your mistake. I'm looking at you because I love you. I'm looking at you because of my nature, not because of your nature." That's what we need to receive from him. Amen. I've been just reading all these stories about Jesus, and I've been estimating something, man. Even with the lady at the well that you all heard about 2 weeks ago when Glenda came and preached, and she said, "You know what? I had five husbands, and the husband I'm with right now is not my husband." I'm like, whoa. How Jesus know all that? Then I start reading about the prodigal son and how he messed up, how he sold all his father's inheritance. And I'm starting to read about David. I'm starting to read about all these criminals in the Bible. And I'm starting to recognize it got to be about him. It can't be about us. If you make it about you, then you can't praise God. But if you make it about him, then all his promises are yes and amen. Not just in our life, but in your life. Amen. That's the reason why I don't want to touch nothing. I just want God to love me. My nature is to receive God's love. His nature is to be who he is. Do you ever pray for the sun to come up? No, because it's his nature to come up. It's God's nature to come up in you and to love you even when you didn't love yourself. It's his nature to say, "I'll be back. I'm going to keep loving you. I'm going to keep calling you. I'm going to keep saying, yes, I love you, my daughter, my son. I'm going to still be there for you even when you lied on me, even when you had death problems." Amen. Just like this thief at the cross. He says, I ain't going nowhere. I'm still right here. Where we say, where are you at, God? I can't even hear you. I can't even see. It's amazing that the other thief, it's almost like God ignored him. I was like, what's that about, God? You ain't say nothing to him. But you said something to the one who humbled himself and said, we messed up. It ain't about us. It's about him. When you make it about you, God, what you going to do about my situation? You see how bad it is?
Come on.
Ain't about your situation. It's about his nature. You see, when I bless somebody, I don't bless somebody because they've been the most perfect person in the world. I bless somebody because of the nature of who I am. When God blesses someone, he blesses you because of who he is, not because of who we are. It says those in Matthew 10:39, those who try to gain their own life will lose it, but those who lose their life for my sake will find it. And that don't mean taking some scissors and commit suicide or nothing like that. What this is saying is this. If you try to find your life, find why you are righteous in your own efforts, you're going to lose your life. But if you find your life in Christ and you find ain't nothing to have to do about me, but it's all about him, then you will find your life. When I do counseling sessions with people, there's two people that come to counseling sessions. People that come to counseling sessions and say, Wendell, I'm here to let you know why I'm doing what I'm doing, and I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, but I'm letting you know why I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. Those people don't change. But then there's people that come to counseling and says, Wendell, man, I messed up, bro, and I'm here just to get it right. I don't know where I went wrong, but I'm here to get advice from godly counsel to see where my life went wrong and what I've been believing wrong. Those people change, amen. You should have people like this in your life that are for you and tell the truth in your life, amen. That's why I love my wife Keisha, because no matter what we do, she will tell the truth no matter if I'm her husband or not. I remember we was at a Christmas party game and I was reading the cards and was like, you a lying preacher, you cheating. You don't stop telling the truth. I'm your husband. Roll with me. I was like, come on, man. Roll with me just a little bit. But that's one thing I love. You know, I'm going to tell you this. You need the people that tell you the truth in your life, not to condemn you, but so you can get back on the right path. I vented to my wife the other day about this situation at McDonald's where this guy had my steak and egg waiting on 20 minutes late. And then when he gave me my food, it was messed up. Didn't want to refund me my money. Then he acted funny towards me. And then I had some exchange of words with the brother. Not the pastor. I went to Keisha. I said, Keisha, let me tell you what happened, baby. She said, you know, she said, I'm thinking like, yeah, you're going to roll me. Nah, that's not who you are. You need to go back up there and apologize. Dang. You see, we don't live in grace so we can cover up our dirt. We live in grace because we have a new identity. Not so I can keep treating somebody like a jerk, so I can say, you know what? This is not who I am. This was the old me. Keisha was pointing to the new me. And I went back up to that McDonald's, and I handled my business, sorries, all that stuff. Oh, yeah, we ain't even tripping off that. But you know what? The reason why I went back is because I am a new creature in Christ. I don't see myself the same. When he died for me, the scripture says this. Therefore, if any man, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become what? New. See, some people going to speak to you out of the new man, and you're going to get mad at them.
Yeah.
He's trying to show you who you really are, and you want to go back to Egypt, to where you used to be. Hey, brother, I want you to preach. Hey, brother, I can't do that. I'm not talking about what you can't do. I'm talking about who you are now. Miss Michelle, we prayed for her the other week for her back because she was supposed to have surgery. And you know what? When I pray for people for lumps and bumps, now I see more results than ever because I'm coming from God's nature, not because I've been good all week. And when I pray for our back, I say, I release the life of Christ in your back that you're going to have a good result.
Come on,
I seen on Facebook the other day. She went to the hospital. She said, if anybody got a praise for it, I got one. You can look it up on Facebook. She said, I went there, and the doctor said, I'm healed. I don't need no surgery. Come on now. God is good. But guess what? I haven't been good all week. How did that happen, God? He says, if you think it's about you, you fooling yourself. It's about me. It's about him. And when we make it about us, that's when we beat ourselves up. That's when we condemn ourselves. Do you have any regrets in your life that, oh man, I'm just regretting this? Do you have any pain in your life because of mistakes that you made? Guess what? You don't have to feel those regrets. You don't have to feel those pains. You can feel your new man.
Come on.
You don't have any regrets. You don't have any pain. What are you talking about? I have pain. No. You're talking about your old man. I'm talking about the new man.
Come on.
Thank you, Jesus, that we can see ourselves the way you see us and not the way we used to see ourselves. That's the reason why you have to disconnect from older people that have seen you in the same way. That's why Abraham had to leave, because they kept seeing him the same old person. That's why Jesus said when he prayed for people, don't go back into that town. Why? Because they're going to identify with you the same way they've been identified with you. That same old weak person. I'm not that same old weak window. I'm a different window now. They're going to identify. That's even Paul had to change his name from Saul to Paul. Because he says your whole identity has to change. Some of you all had to get out of churches, amen? Because you couldn't listen to that stuff no more. Because that's not who you are.
Yeah.
Every time you come here, you light up. Because you say, this is who I am. I'm the new man. I'm not listening to the old man anymore. And that's a decision. We all see the scriptures where people turn back. They go back and want to go back. It don't end good, do it? Thank you, Jesus.
Come on, Pastor. Come on.
In Matthew 19:16, there was a man who was trying to prove himself to Jesus, trying to make himself seem right in his own eyes. And we're going to read about this man. It was a rich young ruler. Now, behold, one came and said to him, God, teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? That's like saying, what can I do to make the sun come up? What can I do to make the birds buzz and sing? You can't do nothing to make the birds do what they do. I killed so many birds trying to break them out of the eggs in my backyard because I call myself helping them out. I'm like, oh, come on, look, baby. I crack the egg open, then the mother would kick that egg out. I'm like, why are you killing your own birds? I'm like, what are you, idiot? They call me the bird guy. I can't take, they'll lock me up for killing a bird. Maybe not a human life, but a bird. Crazy people. But don't let me get off. But I recognized something about those birds that I was killing. Dang, man. Man, got me a bird killer. Those birds that I was killing, I was killing. It wasn't God's nature killing them. I got my hands involved in it. And I've learned that once I have my human set in it, that he rejects it.
Come
Okay, here we go. Here we go. We bringing it. God don't want you to be in it at all. It's all about him. When you have a real testimony up here and somebody come up here to tell a testimony today, it's going to be because what Jesus has done. It's not going to be, you know what? I've been so great this week, and that's why God blessed me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's not a real testimony. Now, you can be faithful from looking at his faithfulness, but he blesses you even to be faithful. Everything comes from him. Everything comes from him. The very breath that you're breathing right now. That's the reason why the scripture says, where is their boasting? Because it comes from him. There is no boast. He says, if you're going to boast, boast that you know Jesus.
Come on.
There we go. Matthew 19. Now behold, one came and said to him, God, teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. He talked to them to an old, like an old covenant believer. He said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, which no man is, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He was trying to break into his heaven by his own efforts. Have you ever tried to get peace and you try to look back at all the good stuff you did to get peace and you feel good for a little bit and you fall back down? You know why? Because all the things that you do can't break into heaven. It's only one reason why you're going to go to heaven. It's because you say, Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins. Thank you for dying for all the things that I've done wrong. That's the reason why you're going to go. Not because of anything else. And that's the reason why you're going to have true peace on this earth. Romans 3:20 says, for no one, everybody say no one. For no one ever will ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. So if I want to place sin upon you, only thing I have to do is say, have you been doing everything right? And then you're going to be shown something today that you haven't been doing everything right. Why front about it? But you don't have to front about the one that loved you. That's the one that you have to point to, that you get the point to. Amen? I ain't got to come up here and put on the show like I've been Pastor Wonderful all 24/7. I don't have to be a jerk neither, because he died for me. Come on now. It's a balance to it, man. I tell people, the grace is about the great exchange. That I don't have to see myself as a swindler no more. I don't have to see myself as a jerk. I don't have to see myself as somebody that's trying to con somebody out of something. I get to see myself as the new man. And when you get to see that, have you ever had something, like I said, that you ever regret in your life? Raise your hand if you have any regrets.
Every day.
Amen. Amen. Guess what? Those regrets bring pain, right? It brings emotional pain. That's where he says, I stepped in. And we sung that little cute song today. I'm trading my sorrows. Guess what? I'm trading. But make the trade real in your heart. When you trade, don't just sing the song. Believe it. You see, a lot of ministers talk about righteousness, but you can never have it. Where is righteousness? Is it in the sky? No. You have been clothed in righteousness. That means that you get to walk around like you're right today. Where is it at? It's in you. You are right with God. The liar tells you different. The liar says, you ain't right. You ain't this. You ain't that. And you the one that have to speak back to the liar and say, yes, I am. Romans 10:9 said, if you believe with your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus died for your sins, then you shall be saved. It didn't say, if you believe with your heart and you confess with your mouth that you've been doing everything right, then you shall be saved. Salvation, do you ever see the word salvation, what it means? It means you are saved. Not that you are saving. You are being saved. That means that my life is in his hands. Have you heard that Kirk Franklin song? My life is in his hands. With Jesus, I can make it. I'm about to turn in Kirk. You know, I can turn into Kirk because I ain't got to sing. I can make y'all sing. I just, yeah. Hallelujah. I remember we was at Busch Stadium singing that song. I just almost had a breakdown. And we was doing this play thing at the Busch Stadium. I'm up here feeling the song in my soul. And this caused me not to even go a step further because he's so awesome for the exchange that has happened. Man, when you think about, I don't have to feel the regret. Paul went into people's places to preach the gospel to people. And he killed people this 3 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And now you coming to preach the gospel? See, some people ain't going to want you to change.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me tell you a message that preached real good. God loved you. He forgives you. Yeah, bro, preach it. And he forgives your enemy. We get Scooby-Doo now. You talking about that dude that's cutting me out? That's how Jonah was at Nineveh. Jonah, he was ready to eat some popcorn, ready to watch them burn, man. And they changed their ways. And God said, I'm not going to burn them up. He got mad. It's going to be some people that's going to get mad because of your new identity. But you keep moving forward in Jesus. Don't go back. I say, I'm going to keep having fun. But this ain't happening in your life yet. But this ain't happening. I don't care. My praise don't have restraint on the natural. My praise is because of what Jesus has done. The song is, when I think about Jesus and what he done for me, when I think about the Lord, how he set me free, I can dance, 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 dance all night. Now when I think about me and what I've done to me, I'm sad, 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 sad. That's the redo. That's the condemnation redo.
Come on,
I'm getting about myself, man. Romans 21. Let's keep reading. But now God has shown us a way to be right with him without keeping the requirements of the law. I keep trying to tell people, this ain't thus says Wendell. This is thus says the Lord. God cries out for people to believe his word. And we go to establishments that don't believe this scripture because they're trying to establish righteousness by works. But now God has shown us a way to be right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writing of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in who? Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. Just think about how powerful that is. This is true for those that believe, no matter who we are. That means this. You can be sitting in your seat hearing this powerful message and not believe it. and it's almost like this is not even true to you. This is like those people that come into counseling and saying, I'm here to tell you what I already know, but I'm not here to change my belief system of what I kept doing. I'm going to keep doing the same thing, Wendell, but I just want to hear you say something. No, it don't work like that. This is how it works. You know what? I throw all this junk out of what I used to think, and I'm adopting something new. If we don't do that, we're going to keep doing the same old, amen? God wants us to have his best, and to have his best is right now, not when you clean up yourself. He cleans you up. He the one that, when I stop messing with them baby eggs and stop killing them eggs, he the one that opened them up by himself, his nature. He don't need no help. He just needs you to receive his love. I tell people, stay in your lane, and I stay in my lane. Don't get in my lane. I don't get in your lane. What's your lane? You loving God, you receiving his love. What's God's lane? Provider, Jehovah Jireh, the one that gives everything to us. So it's his responsibility. Our responsibility is to have our hands out saying, yes, Father, I receive it. Thank you. His responsibility is to say, bloop, 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 bloop. When you get out your lane, you think that you Father God, and you think you the receiver. You can only be one. Are you the one saying, Lord, I just receive it? Or are you the one thinking that you got to produce it? I've been deceived before, believing I'm the one that makes this happen. No, it's God. How did you get saved? How did everyone in this church get saved? Somebody came to you, right? And introduced Christ to you. That means, guess what? The way you receive Christ, the scriptures say, so walk ye in him. You ain't receive him off your effort, and so you won't walk in him in your effort. You walk in him because of his goodness and his nature and his character. When you have faith in Jesus, you don't have to look at all your disappointment like the rich young ruler. I've done this. I've done this. Anything else I haven't done? Yeah. It's one thing that he didn't do. Believe in Jesus.
Come on.
See, there's no difference between Peter and Judas. Both of them lied and said they ain't no Jesus. One of them traded a man. And one of them lied three times. One of them lied one time. Judas lied one time and said, hey, I'm trading. I don't know this dude. Here, y'all can have me. Peter, he lied three times. He said, I don't know. They came back to him. He said, man, I don't know the dude. They came back to him again, and he cursed. He said, man, I told you, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. And he cursed the dude out, saying he ain't know. But one person hung himself, and then another person received Christ. Because Judas, he beat himself up. If he would have waited, he would have seen that Jesus died for that. You see what I'm saying? You don't have to beat yourself up. When Peter came back to Jesus, he was crying, saying, I messed up. And Jesus kept on restoring him. And you know what he was doing? He was giving him responsibility. I'm like, why are you giving this dude responsibility? He ain't been faithful, Jesus. He lied on you. Because God's not looking at you based off your old identity. Moses killed somebody. Why are you going to send him to go rescue the people in Egypt? He's a murderer. Because he's not looking at Moses' identity. He's looking at himself. Abraham, he was a liar. David, he was a murderer and a liar. Why are you using these people for? Because if he got to use people that's qualified, then he can't use nobody. I'm going to say that again. If you're trying to wait to get qualified, you'll never get qualified. I'm going to wait till I sign up for seminary class, till I get then God might be wrong. I'll still be waiting. You just gotta go. Well, hold on, you're moving too fast. That's what people gonna say around you. You're moving too fast. Where do you think you're going? You ain't even cleaned up your room yet. If God says go, it's time to go.
Yes, sir.
Some of you are. He's speaking to you right now.
Yeah.
He's saying, it's time to go. Like I said, I don't know what he's saying, time to go to or go where. But I don't speak nothing of my own. I speak from what he says to me. Sometimes it's time to go to a different area, a different mindset of thinking. Of I used to think this way, but this way is not producing what I want to produce. And I'm going to stay in this? No, he says it's time to go. I haven't preached a message about moving forward since we was in that hotel room, amen. But he wants us to move forward in him. What does that mean? How does that look like? That means that if Jesus calls me and he says, I love you, I want you to have peace this morning about the situation. You don't have to wait till the situation turn out all right to have peace. You can have peace because he says have peace. We're waiting sometimes. We're waiting for things to line up. All the stars. That's one brother said, I'm waiting for my stars, my lucky stars. Tell them lucky stars to go kick rocks, man. You better look up on Jesus, which cometh your help. Your help coming from the Lord. The Lord who made heaven and earth. The Lord that made your boss. The Lord that made your body. Why are you going to look into anything else? And to some people, why are you going to brown nose the boss acting like this person is in charge? God created your boss. God created your body. God created your atmosphere. So when you get linked up with him, your atmosphere gets changed because you have peace because of his nature, then your nature changed. Adam messed up when he felt condemned. When he felt condemned, everything got condemned. Because of how he felt about his soul. Amen? But when Jesus set us free, when you walk into a room, everybody knows it. Because you got life in you. You jumping around just as if you've never seen. You know there's hope. There's a glimmer in your eye. That something is alive in you. They can't put their finger on it at work. They can't say what it is. But you believe in something different about you. Why you got so much pep in yourself? Why you believing? Don't you see how chaotic this world is? Don't you see the funerals that's going on with you? Don't you see this that's happening? Don't you see that what's happening? I see Jesus. I see grace. I see those things are bad things happening. But you know what? He will be able to work all things out for your good. Do you see that? I remember my dad used to take me to the keto classes. Them things were like $250 a month, wasn't it? And one of the things about those classes was these little bitty men be flipping these 300-pound men. It's like judo. And they said, Wendell, you think you come in here 300 pounds, you think you about to do something. You ain't about to do nothing. And this little dude was throwing me everywhere on the mat. I said, man, I'm so much stronger than you. He says, you don't know how to use right leverage. He says, I'm using your energy against you. Okay, this is what God says. The things that the devil do for evil, God will turn around for your good and throw him in a pot. And you'll be wondering, how did I get here? Joseph's brothers did some evil stuff, man. Locked them up. Without a cause. But as he was locked up, he was sitting before the king that made him king. 25 years later. What am I saying? There are some things that you don't even see. Why is this happening to me? No. No, God didn't do that to you. What you should be saying is, God is setting me. God didn't do that. Let me say that, illustrate it again. God is not of evil. Don't think that God can tempt you of evil because the scripture says, I cannot tempt you of evil. I can only be good. But guess what? He doesn't control wheels on this earth. But as somebody's trying to demise you and make you look foolish, God's saying, I'm going to set you up even if they try to throw you in that pit. You thinking that you done because of this physical thing. He says, you ain't done. You seeing all this debt? You seeing all this massive thing that's over your head? He says, I'm going to turn this to your good. I'm going to judo this. I'm going to flip this. Well, you didn't even see. He said, just believe in me. I got another story. This is my last one. I'm up at 7-Eleven. My mom said, I need to stay out of these places. I gave the lady $20. We joking and stuff. And the lady dropped the money on the ground. I'm almost late being back to work. She picked up the money and said, you only gave me a $5 bill. I said, no, I gave you $20. I gave you $20 bill. Where my money at? She said, no, we can go on the cameras. I don't know why you're trying to steal from the store, sir. I said, okay. I said, go check your cameras, lady. You'll see. I gave you $20. She went to go check the cameras. It took 20 minutes to do that. 20 minutes, she came back and let me know the cameras weren't working. So, you know, it's working my patience. Say, you know what, guys, I'm going to work this for my, I don't know how, but I'm about to be late to work. And this person ain't giving my money. She said, well, we're going to have to count all the stuff in the store, all the money, all the stuff, and then we'll have to see if this is you, because I know I get you gave me a $5 bill, and I gave you a $20. I even described the $20. It was ripped in the middle part. And she didn't believe me, so she counted all the money in the store. It was another 20 minutes. So I'm like, okay. All right, you counted all the money. It's almost going on an hour. And then she said, well, we still can't find out, sir. I said, Jesus, what's going on here? I said, can you just give her my money back? And I was about to start praying for my $20 bill. But I said, you know what? I'm just going to have peace. Then the store manager called. They all worked it out. And she said, okay, we're just going to give you the change back from what you bought. And so I got the little drink or whatever. She gave me my little $17 back. And I was up there kind of mad. Because I was like, I should just get my money back and buy my stuff from another store. I don't even want to spend nothing from this store. Then Lord said, just chill out. Why are you tripping over $20? He says, I'm the ruler of everything. He says, I'm the one that will snatch a coin from a fish mouth and give it to you. So why are you tripping? That's how God speaks to me. Tripping, yeah. He speaks to you how he speaks to you. He speaks to me how he speaks to me. As long as it's the word of God. So I'm walking later on that day, and I seen something blowing on the concrete. No establishments. So what's this over there? So I walked. I seen something blowing over on the street. I picked it up. It was a $20 bill. I said, ooh, that's cool. You know, it's almost like a blessing in disguise. You know what I mean? Well, one of the things I learned, I had so many situations throughout the week with healings, $20, this little thing, cancer being healed, this happening. It's all the same thing. He wants you to have peace where there is no peace.
Faith.
I'll say that again. Some of y'all got distracted.
Faith.
He wants you to have peace where there is no peace in the natural. He wants you to have peace when the doctor says, I don't know what we're going to do. We're going to have surgery. We might have to cut your limb off. We want you to have peace. Why should I? I just heard something bad. Because you're created for beautiful, wonderful thoughts. You're created. In Philippians, he says, think upon these things. Whatever things are what? Lovely. Whatever things are pure. Whatever things are honest. Whatever things are praiseworthy. Why? Because that's how you were created. You're not created to condemn yourself. You're not created to condemn somebody else and be mad at somebody. That's not how you're built. What they say, it takes more muscles to frown than to smile. That's the truth, man. It takes more. And if you really check your heart, you'll know it's a little extra to be angry. It's easy to to forgive. Amen. It's easy to forgive yourself. Amen. All right. Did y'all receive today?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This week I've seen God restore $20 back. I seen him restore surgery to others. I seen him heal somebody in their soul that was about to commit suicide this week. I've seen him restore so many things back. But one thing he wants to restore back is us. He don't care about no $20. He's after you. He's after your heart. Amen. Everybody, just bow your heads and close your eyes. And I just want you to repeat after me. Say, Jesus, thank you for dying for me on the cross. Thank you for loving me when I didn't love myself. I received what you did, Jesus. And I thank you for dying for my sins and being raised up again on the third day. They couldn't hold you down, so they can't hold me down. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm in your family. In Jesus' name. If that was the very first time, you can keep your eyes closed, that you ever said that you confessed Jesus as Lord and you confessed him as your Savior, I just want you to slightly raise up your right hand. That was the very first time. I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I see all of you all. You can put your hands down. If that was the very first time that you called Jesus Lord, I want this whole church to give a hand clap for being in the family. You are in the family. And can't nothing pluck you out in the name of Jesus. Nothing can pluck you out. You are in his loving arms right now. And he loves you so much. He loves you so much. He just wants you to know that he is with you. Even when you didn't think he was with you, he says, I've just been waiting for this moment where you get to call me daddy and I get to love you as my daughter or as my son. He said, this is what it's all been about. It's all about the relationship with him. We're going to get you on track today, amen. We want you to come after service, those that raise their hands, we're going to give you a Bible. We're going to get you filled with the Holy Spirit. We're going to show you how to walk this relationship out with Jesus. Amen. Yes. And we're going to teach you. Amen. Sometimes people haven't been taught in the proper way. But we're having the right people to come at the right season to teach you about everything in life. Amen. And then afterwards, I'm going to take you out to McDonald's and all that good stuff too.
Amen.
Amen. Because you got to eat. You got to feed your neck.